10:23, I have a question of my colleagues. I don't know if Commissioner Udaly is coming back. Does anybody know?
No, four votes is enough, Mayor.
Okay, good. I have a doctor's appointment, so I'm just trying to decide how quickly to move things. 10:23, please.
10:23, authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County for the transfer of $4 million from the Multnomah County Supportive Housing Fund to the Portland Housing Bureau for development of 70 housing units at the West Wind Apartments project.
3 years ago, Portland voters made history by passing our first ever affordable housing bond. Last month, we announced the new projects selected under the bond opportunity solicitation and had another historic announcement. We've now met and in most cases exceeded our goals promised to Portland voters with 1,424 new housing units open or in the development pipeline. Multnomah County has been an essential partner in our community-wide success. Their $4 million capital contribution for the West Wind Apartments and additional support services through the Joint Office of Homeless Services advances our goal of bringing new permanent supportive housing units into our community. And with that, I'll turn this over to Shannon. It looks like you're up first, Shannon, and then Mark will play second fiddle today. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioner Shannon Callahan of the Portland Housing Bureau. I'm pleased to be here today to bring you this intergovernmental agreement to authorize a $4 million contribution from Multnomah County to the redevelopment of the West Wind Apartments. The West Wind is one of 12 housing bond projects identified. It was announced along with 9 other projects this September after a competitive process. All told, these developments will be home to over 2,900 Portlanders. The West Wind itself will be a newly constructed 7-story building. It will provide 100 new homes, 70 of which will provide supportive housing. All of the 70 units with supportive housing will have rent support from Home Forward. The majority of the residents will be individuals transitioning from homelessness who experience a disabling condition. The support services will include mental health care services, as well as culturally specific support delivered through service partnerships with the Native American Rehabilitation Association, also known as NARA, and Central Cities Concerns culturally specific programs. The building will also include space for community services and resident art space for art classes and workshops. We expect construction to begin commencement next fall.
So, Mayor and Commissioners, good morning. My name is Mark Jolin. I'm the Director of the Joint Office of Homeless Services. I'm mostly here just to express my appreciation for the partnership that this represents between the city and the county when it comes to expanding the inventory of permanent supportive housing in our community. Together, we launched less than 2 years ago an initiative to create 2,000 new units of permanently supportive housing for folks in our community, individuals and families who need deep subsidy and also need ongoing support services in order to ensure that they're able to stay in their housing. And the information that you have before you, because of the work that we have done together, shows that we are now at 792 units towards our goal of 2,000 units, either already in place or in the pipeline, and that is really exceptional. It's a testament to the resources that the community has provided and the coordination between the city and the county, the Housing Authority, our state partners, making all of this possible. So the West Wind is almost 10% of that 792. It's one important project among many, and it is a good day to be here and to celebrate the progress that we're making. So thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Commissioner
Fritz, then Commissioner Fish.
Thank you. Where is the money coming from for the services for the permanent supportive housing?
So in this particular project, we have a partnership with the Multnomah County Health Department that is likely to provide the majority of the support services funding. as we always do, we'll be looking to leverage the clinical services that people need that are typically Medicaid-funded. So we'll use general fund to provide the housing placement and retention support services that we can't bill Medicaid for.
And whose general fund is?
So that is in the joint office's budget, but is in partnership with the health department.
Okay, so it's already in the budget?
Yeah, for this project.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor?
Commissioner Fish.
So this is, I think, a good opportunity to do a little PSA for PSH. Mm-hmm. because Commissioner Fritz got at something very important. In the presentations that we have received on permanent supportive housing, we've learned at least two things. One is that to serve the people that we want to serve, we have to have a significant subsidy to drive down the cost so that people at 0 to 30% of MFI are eligible. And second is we have to have funding for the services. And it turns out that over the last couple of years, as the public has become more focused on the housing crisis and focused on homelessness, that the public actually understands that for this to be successful, you've got to have those services. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, understands that having a caseworker and those services might be the difference between a successful tenancy or not, or someone turning their lives around and getting a second chance. So because Commissioner Fritz raised it, I think it's important to put on the table that we've set an audacious goal of 2,000 units. I'm pleased to see that we're making progress. Was that a picture of the West Wind?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a very attractive building. So, you know, we're making steady progress. But the flaw in the ointment, the hole in our system is having adequate resources to fund those services. And the reality is we are simply not going to be waiting to be bailed out by the federal government or by the state government. We cannot expect in the short term that that's going to happen. The public understands that those services are crucial to the success of these programs. So in my view, and in the view of many others, we're going to have a new revenue source at some point. We're going to have a thoughtful conversation about how to generate substantial money to provide those services. So while I'm delighted we're making progress, the West Wind looks like a great deal. I'm a big believer in the joint office. The reality check is we are going to need new revenue to close the gap on services. And I look forward to the council having that conversation as we head into the new year.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you so much for your presentation. This has nothing to do with what's in front of me at the moment, but I continue to say to both of you that what we're calling affordable housing is really not affordable housing. So while today Commissioner Fish is talking about 30% and below MFI, do you have any data on the people who are being turned away because they can't afford the affordable housing units that are coming on the market? I mean, when we talk 80% of MFI, when we talk 60% of MFI, do we have any data at all? Are we collecting that data? And if so, where do I find it?
Commissioner, I don't believe I have any data readily available for you, but I will go back and check with my team on that. The Housing Bureau supports housing with our direct financing at 60% area median income and below. And of course, the greatest need is below 30% AMI. This building will support 70 households that essentially have no income.
Yes.
So the rent support is really kind of some of the magic to making sure that we're able to support people who are, especially those folks who are on Social Security disability or otherwise. But I'll be happy to follow up and see what I can get for you on that.
I would be greatly appreciative because we're going to be asked to vote on better housing by design, and we're going to be asked to vote on a whole host of other housing strategies, mm-hmm. right? But if we're not clear about what is really housing that people can afford to live in, then we will continue to incentivize the wrong end of the housing market. And so I think we really, I desperately need that information so that I'm able to make really good decisions. When we say affordable, what do we really, really mean?
Yeah, and the National Low Income Housing Coalition does an annual report that came out relatively recently where they break out, they show the number of extremely low income households, so folks making 30% and below, and how many available units that rent at levels that are affordable to that community exist. So you're able to see the gap. That's often how we are able to identify what the deficit is of deeply affordable housing in our community for that population. So I can also forward you that information. It's some of the best data we have.
And we do know that for the Portland area, but what I heard you say, Commissioner, was specifically are people applying that are then rejected for the housing, and I don't know that I have that information. We definitely have the need in the community, and it is definitely the deeply affordable housing for folks below 0 to 30.
Here. Commissioner Fish.
Is this the single biggest investment in permanent supportive housing in any one project in recent history? I'm trying to remember the last time. I mean, we are constantly asking to bring the MFI down to provide services for people that have either no income or very limited income. I don't remember the last time a project penciled out with this many units of permanent supportive housing. Is it?
We have a number of units in the pipeline that are coming forward that we'll be dealing with 0 to 30, but this is a pretty substantial step. We have not done something of this building type with 70 units of supportive housing in quite some time.
Probably since the Buckley Commons.
Yeah.
Since Buckley Commons.
I can't think of another building that had 70 PSH units in one building.
Quite an accomplishment.
The Joyce will be, is also, the redevelopment of the Joyce will be coming to council at some point in the future, and that will have about 69 units of supportive housing with deeply affordable as well. So they're relatively comparable, but this building is a brand new with 100 units, so it is substantial.
Sorry. Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. Just following up on the affordability question, it does get confusing because there's really a big A affordability and a little A affordability. When we are talking about affordable housing here with the Housing Bureau, we're talking about big A affordable as defined by HUD. When other people are talking about affordable housing, they may just be talking about housing that's affordable to anyone relative to their income, which is 30%. That's the rule of thumb, 30% of your income. We have to follow HUD guidelines, is my understanding. And when we're talking about publicly owned housing, permanently affordable housing, we are devoting our dollars to 60% of MFI and below. In the private sector, we cannot compel them to build anything other than what's prescribed through inclusionary zoning, which is 60% or 80% of median family income, correct? I don't think that we're going to find meaningful data of people who are being denied housing because they don't meet the income guidelines, because they're probably not applying. But we do know roughly what the need is in each category, and it's staggering, all told. It's what? 24,000 affordable units was the number that we were hearing 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the inflow of people into that category of need hasn't really slowed down, and the housing that's being built by the private industry is largely unaffordable to most Portlanders. So I understand the confusion about that. The language, and I just wanted to clarify.
Commissioner, can I make one other point?
Sure.
In keeping with the with what you just said, there was a time when the Portland Development Commission and the then version of the Housing Bureau, which had a different name, had a big disagreement about what was affordable housing, and dollars were being spent differently depending on which of the two agencies were spending the dollars. When Mayor Adams came in as mayor, when I came in as housing commissioner, and we collapsed all the housing programs together and put them under one roof and then redirected the mission of the Portland Housing Bureau, we resolved that question finally, unless the council wants to reopen it at some point. And we said our focus is low-income families and individuals. So it eliminated the conflict that was going on by reconciling funding, policy, and oversight under one bureau. It, at the time, was resisted by a lot of people and was controversial because PDC was using some public resources to create incentives for fancy hotels and other kinds of things. But it was the right thing to do, in my opinion. And that's, but it's also why the housing that we get presented on all the time fits within the guidelines that were established with that relaunch of the Portland Housing Bureau. It is just, however, rare that we meet our target on 0 to 30. That's been the unmet need, and there's a huge need out there that the housing authority, that Home Forward can't meet on its own. And so I'm delighted to see we're making some progress there.
Because even public housing needs rent revenue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They can't all be free, which is a challenge. And I also want to point out a couple other challenges that may kind of complicate this conversation. Number one, the federal poverty income guidelines are woefully out of date. And so you have to be incredibly low income to qualify for supports that should be available to people that earn significantly more. And then the other issue I see is that we base our median family income on all residents, homeowners and renters, and we know that renters make significantly less money than homeowners. So renters are, I think, the unaffordability issue is somewhat like the severity is somewhat hidden by the fact that we're assuming that people who are trying to rent make median family income. And we know that average rents are only affordable to people that earn 120% of median family income. And that makes matters even worse. Thank you for humoring me. But I think these are just important details to think about when we're talking about affordability.
Very good. Carla, do we have any public testimony on this item?
Yes, we have one person signed up. Maggie?
Come on up.
I'm glad I'm hearing the word permanent supportive housing more. I think it's necessary. I don't know what happened to the people in the 70 units in the West Wing. Like, where did they go? Were they displaced? Did they go out on the street?
No, they will not be displaced onto the street.
Okay, and the other thing space. I would like to say is, you know, it's good to rehab buildings. Is there any way to add more units to the West Wing?
Possibly, yes.
You're going to be putting people back in there, but that didn't increase the number of units. So how are we going about increasing the number of units for permanent supportive housing? And when I mean permanent supportive housing, I mean with social services, not just sticking someone in an apartment.
Maggie, can I answer that question? Because this is a good question you've raised, and it's one that's certainly been asked. The West Wind is at the risk of being demolished and rebuilt as a private sector condominium or apartment project. So we are at risk of losing the 70 beds that currently exist there that are very low-income beds. But what we're proposing doing is replacing it with a building that will actually last for 100 years, unlike the building that is there currently. And it will also provide support services to ensure that the chronically homeless can be successful in their housing. So this is, you know,
okay,
this is
so then my question would be, is there a way to increase the number of units in that building?
Potentially, yes.
Okay, try and do that. Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it. Any further testimony on this item? This is an emergency ordinance. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
You Daly?
I think I've made enough comments on this item. I'll just vote aye.
Fritz.
The $4 million that is coming from the county to the city for this project is from the sale of Wapato, and I am very happy to know that that money is going to be used for 100 units of deeply affordable housing, including 70 of permanent supportive housing. And that's a much better use for that money than putting people in a shelter that's not going to provide permanent housing. Aye.
Fish.
Well, thanks to Director Callahan and to Mark Jolin for their excellent presentation, and I'm very pleased to support this ordinance. Aye.
Hardesty.
I'm also very grateful for the information, and I hope we continue to question the term affordable housing because, again, we need to make sure that we're actually hitting the mark. I'm grateful for this proposal. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I want to thank the Housing Bureau, and I want to thank my team for the hard work that they've put into this. This is a new beginning for SROs in the city of Portland. We are in the process of embarking on modern and relevant SRO communities that can address the chronically homeless situation that we've seen in our community. This is the first major play that we've made with regard to the affordable housing bond. It will be followed up, as Director Callahan had mentioned, in short order by the Joyce, and you'll see other projects like this too as we go about aggressively meeting our commitment to create 2,000 units of permanent supportive housing in our community. We made that commitment a year ago. It was a 10-year commitment. We're already about 650 units into that 2,000 unit commitment, and I hope that shows the resolve of this council as well as my own resolve on this issue. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Call